If you would, turn in your New Testaments to the book of Titus. Turn to Titus. The last time I spoke on a Sunday night, we started this book. I guess we could have just read it through, but kind of a two-parter. And this was a personal letter to Titus from Paul. We see Paul's writings kind of are divided into two different kinds of letters, one to congregations or to area congregations, usually dealing with doctrinal issues, things like that. And then the other kind of letter he wrote was personal letters, like to Timothy and this one to Titus. Two things that we pointed out, and as we read this tonight, I want it, as we go over issues, I think you will probably see they will fall into one of two categories: sound doctrine, which was always important to Paul, and personal behavior. I'd like for us to, we did expound and make some comments the last time on chapter 1. I would just like to read it through, and then starting with chapter 2, we'll get into a little bit of expounding on this. But keep in mind the emphasis that Paul has on both sound doctrine and personal behavior as a Christian. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things which are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, disqualified for every good work. And this is about where we had left off last week, or last time. And he begins chapter 2, and he has said all this, and he starts out, "But as for you," I've told you about a lot of other people, but now this is for you. "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That was so important to Paul, that because people had strayed in just a short time. In 1 Timothy 4:13, he gave Timothy a very similar, this was also a personal letter. In 1 Timothy 4:13, he says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And in 2 Timothy 4:13, he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." This is similar to what we were talking about this morning when we talked about different terms and names of things, denominations. When people start breaking off and doing what they want to do, "I know it says that, but..." That's denominations. In Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, this is a letter to a group of churches. And Paul says, starting in verse 6, says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another." And we know that from today in Ephesians, that there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God. There's only one. And he goes, "which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have heard, than what you have received, let him be accursed." So chapter 2 starts off with this, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." And he goes on to say that the older men, I don't know what older means, older. I know what I used to think was old. What I used to think is old is not as old anymore. In fact, what I used to think is old is now I think of as young. But that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior. I'll tell you, I don't care how old you get, a woman likes to feel pretty. I don't care. Little girls dress up as a princess. I know some big girls that dress up like princesses, but I don't care how old you get. You want to look nice. You want to feel pretty. In my opinion, and I think it goes along with this, there's nothing as ugly as an irreverent woman. And listen to some of these things that are saying. The old woman, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. So much of this letter to Titus is about behavior. And he's saying here, in all things, show yourself to be a pattern of good works. A pattern is something that you can follow. A pattern, you know, if you're sewing or if you're putting together a model, or it's the goal, the pattern, the typos, the exact copy, that you be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Don't you love it that by your behavior, if somebody has something against you, that if you behave as a Christian here, all it does is frustrate them. Because they want to find something that they can sling against you. They want to find some mud that they can throw. Aha, look here, you say you're a Christian, blah, 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 blah. All it does is frustrate your opponent. They have to, and I'm not saying that they don't do this. Sometimes an opponent, an enemy, has to manufacture something they say about you. You can't stop that. You cannot stop. If somebody wants to say a lie about you, a manufactured falsehood, you can't stop that. But you know what? You do have control. You have control as a Christian by the way you behave, that you don't give them ammunition. By the way we live our lives, and this is what Paul is telling Titus, live your life in a way that you don't give your opponents ammunition to degrade you and to chop you down. Behave in a way where if they're gonna do something, they've got to come up with it themselves. Exhort, back to verse 9, exhort bond servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. What amazes me, Paul is using an example here of a slave, a bondservant. And the gospel, as we're going to see in the next verse, has appeared to everybody. Everybody has had access to it by this time, by the late 60s. And it shows me, this is the great equalizer. The gospel, Christ, makes everybody equal. It doesn't make us socially the same income. It doesn't socially make us to where we're all millionaires, or that we're all have the same living conditions. Whatever, in verse 9 and 10, whatever state you find yourself, you can be a Christian. If you're a slave, be a Christian. Don't talk back. That applies to me. As an employee, show my faith, show my character as an employer, or as an employee, as a neighbor, as a customer. Show my character and exhibit my faith. Verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and a glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every... Listen to this. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Amen. Zealous for good works. Every one of us have had things in our lives that we're not that we're ashamed of. You know, if we opened up the deep, dark closets in our lives, it would be shocking. I know that there are things that I'm not proud of in my life. But Jesus gave himself for me that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Anything that we've done, Jesus' sacrifice is bigger than anything that we've ever done. Peter says something very similar to this, the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, about God's own special people. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." When I think of the transformation from what we were in to what we're in now, the darkness being separated from God to now being his own special people, a royal priesthood. Paul talks about this same concept in Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. He says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." This goes along very similar to what we've been talking about recently in our Wednesday night class in Hebrews, about how, you know, talking about the, you know, Jesus is, you know, a better high priest and so forth. And here it's saying the gospel, Jesus' blood, is the great equalizer. You know, that we're, you know, we're neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. Going back to Titus, he just talked about he's going to purify us as his own special people. In verse 15, "Speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." I don't know why, and I have looked, and I'm still a little confused on why he would put that, "let no one despise you," for a specific reason other than the general reasons. Let no one despise you out of being a hypocrite. If you're preaching these things but living it, people despise that. That sickens people to see a hypocrite. To speak one thing and to live another, for the actions and the words not matching up. I don't know if that's the whole thing, or if maybe because he's not Paul, don't let him despise you because you're going to be speaking the things that I would say. You know, don't let him think of you as the second string. That's a possible way. But I know that just in general, let no one despise you out of being a hypocrite. That's something that we all can gather from this, that if we're trying to preach to somebody, teach somebody, be an example to somebody, we're not going to be as effective if we're not living it. If we say one thing, I'll tell you, little kids pick up on that real fast. And if little kids can, everybody else can. That if you don't live up to the things you're saying. If you don't walk the walk instead of just the talk. But he says, let no one despise you. Chapter 3, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. Not once in a while being envious, living it. That's a pitiful... Jesus talked about that. That if you're living in sin, you won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Those that live in it. But he says, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. That is the gospel in a nutshell. In one verse, not by works of the righteousness which we've done. We couldn't have done enough to make the sacrifice worthy of what we got. Not by our own righteousness, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Daryl brought up in his Sunday evening lesson a few weeks ago, he talked about adoption. And we have become heirs with Jesus, God's only begotten Son. We've become heirs with Him to God. In verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes. But avoid foolish disputes. Do you ever get hooked in? I mean, there's time. It's just kind of like you get hooked in to foolish disputes. Now, we talked, I think it was last week, about acceptable division. There are times, if it's about doctrine, if it's about sin, absolutely, you draw a line. But with love, you firmly plant your feet on the ground. Avoid foolish disputes. Does that in any way benefit anybody? A foolish dispute. Genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. These things that people, there was a lot of the Jews that were wanting to get caught up in their Jewish traditions, not commandments of God, Jewish traditions, that you've got to continue doing these things. And he says, avoid that. Knowing that such a person, verse 10, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. You avoid those people. There's nothing good that comes out of that. All it does is usually drag you down to their level. A lot of times all they want to do is fuss and fight and go round and round in circles, and it benefits nobody. Verse 12, when I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Farewell. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be to you. Can't read tonight. Grace be with you all. Amen. A short, what we call three chapters. They weren't divided into chapters when he wrote it. A relatively short letter. Three chapters. But you look at so many things that Paul narrowed it down to uphold sound doctrine and personal Christian behavior. I think that's it's a good message for us, even though this was written in the mid to late AD 60s. It's as applicable today for us as it was to Titus. Maybe not specifically for a certain situation, but the generics for us. As we go into this next week, let us maybe take the messages that Paul wrote to Titus, and hopefully we can improve our week by it. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation tonight, everybody here